And I am very pleased that Andrew Herneman is here beside me to help lead the service this morning on the fifth Sunday of Lent, which is the beginning of Passion Tide. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving power among the nations. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory forever. As a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, your only Son was lifted up, that he might draw the whole world to himself. May we walk this day in the way of the cross, and always be ready to share its weight, declaring your love for all the world. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever. Song of Lamentation. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. For these things I weep. My eyes flow with tears. For a comforter is far from me, one to revive my courage. Remember my affliction and my bitterness, the wormwood and the gall. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that we should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For the Lord will not reject forever. Though he causes grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Can we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 126, and we begin by saying together, The Lord has indeed done great things for us. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with songs of joy. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has indeed done great things for us, and therefore we rejoice. The Lord has indeed done great things for us. Restore again our fortunes, O Lord, as the riverbeds of the desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed, will come back with shouts of joy, bearing their sheaves with them. The Lord has indeed done great things for us. Lord, as you send rain and flowers, even to the wilderness, renew us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to sow good seed in times of adversity and to live to rejoice in your good harvest of all creation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning at verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. This is what the Lord says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals, the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
And we turn now to our responsory. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Many years ago, not long after my mother had died, I remember walking through the ground floor of the House of Fraser in Exeter with my daughter, who wasn't that old at the time. She suddenly stopped walking and began to take in deep breaths. I can smell Granny, she said. Well, clearly this could have several connotations, but I won't go into them. But what she meant and what she smelt as we walked through the perfume department was that she could smell the scent that Granny used to wear. And immediately the smell stopped her in her tracks and took her to a memory of someone she loved and who loved her. Smells have a habit of doing that. They take you somewhere and they engage your senses and your emotions. All the Gospels tell a story similar to the one that Andrew's just read in John. In John's Gospel, the woman is called Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who live at Bethany. It must have been quite an occasion. Lazarus had only recently been brought back to life after being dead for 4 days, lying in the tomb. Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, and he came, still wrapped in grave clothes. 6 days before the Passover festivities, Mary and Martha host a dinner party for Jesus. This time, there is no argy-bargy between the sisters. Martha is happy to serve the food. John describes this as a dinner party, which suggests it was the main meal of the day, which was usually held in the evening. And the fact that the guests are reclining at table implies that this is a banquet rather than an ordinary meal. It is during this meal that Mary takes a jar of expensive perfume, breaks it open, and anoints Jesus with it, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. The perfume was called spikenard, a scented oil that was imported from northern India and was extremely expensive. The amount of perfume Mary had in her jar was about half a litre, and the financial value, 300 denarii, a year's wages. John records that Mary anoints Jesus' feet. Matthew and Mark record that she anoints Jesus' head. Considering the large amount of perfume, it is no wonder that Mary was able to anoint both Jesus' head and his feet. I can imagine this scene as if in slow motion. I can envisage Mary crossing the floor with her perfume jar in her hands. I can hear the sound as the jar is broken open. I can see the golden oil ooze and trickle. I can watch Mary as she unties her hair and shakes it free. I can imagine the deep, rich scent of the perfume as it fills the room, touching everyone present with its fragrance. I can feel the mood suddenly change as Judas breaks the magic and the mystery with his sharp criticism. What Mary did was extraordinary. At that moment, she epitomizes outrageous love and extravagant worship. She doesn't need to speak. She doesn't need to sing. She just needs to be. She shows her love and her thankfulness and her worship through what she does, with her whole self, her whole body, her hands, and her hair. Mary breaks open the jar and anoints Jesus' feet. A few days later, Jesus will wash his disciples' feet, showing them what real love looks like. Mary breaks open the jar to allow the fragrance of worship to break out. Later that week, Jesus will break open bread as a sign and a symbol to his friends to remember his broken body on the cross, bringing healing, forgiveness, and resurrection love for everyone. I love the way that Jesus responds to Mary. He does not rebuke her or turn her away or dismiss her actions in any way at all. He accepts them. He responds to them. He welcomes them. Jesus welcomes Mary's worship as she offers her whole self. And he does so because he knows that he is about to offer his whole self for the sins of the world. In Mark's account of this story, he records that Jesus says that what Mary has done is a beautiful thing, something that is worth remembering and recalling. Judas' comments attempt to spoil this thing of beauty. He is concerned by the extravagance and the wastefulness, and as we know, his motives were not altogether pure. In fact, in many ways, Judas is right. In some ways, Mary's act is useless. It doesn't really do anything. It has no purpose. It is wasteful and lavish. And surely we are called to be sensible and prudent. Yet John tells us that Jesus blesses and cherishes it. Jesus' reply to Judas's criticism seems harsh and out of character. For the poor you will always have with you. Is Jesus really saying that the poor don't matter, that poverty is inevitable, and that there's no point in trying to alter it? Jesus is more likely thinking about the words of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed. In other words, we should always be mindful of the poor. It shouldn't stop. We should constantly be seeking love, justice, and mercy. But what is it about Mary's action that is so special? I think it is Mary's unabashed demonstration of love for Jesus. She couldn't stop herself. She had to show how much she loved him, and she had to show it with all of herself. Mary responds to what is in front of her, around her dinner table, in her own home. As I read this week, she loves the body and soul who is placed in her presence. In doing so, she ends up caring for the one who is denied room at the inn, even to be born, for the one who had no place to lay his head during his years of ministry, for the one whose crucified body is laid in a borrowed tomb. From this moment on in the gospel story, Jesus is ready to face death in Jerusalem. As we enter into Passiontide, we begin our journey with him. Will we, like Mary, choose to make an extravagant gesture of love to Jesus? Will we break open the jar and pour out our thanks, our praise, and our love? Amen.
So we join together in prayer. Lord, we long to live thankfully. Help us to pour out our thanks. Lord, we thank you for all the goodness we have seen around us this week, for kindness of friends and strangers, for signs of spring bursting forth in our gardens, parks, fields and hedgerows, for sunshine and warmth. We thank you for friends and food to eat. We think in silence of a particularly special moment this week and thank you. Lord, how we long to live thankfully. Help us to pour out our thanks. Lord, we thank you for moments of busyness this week and moments of calm. We thank you for all those people who have crossed our path this week. We thank you for unexpected moments of goodness and joy, even in the midst of pain. Lord, we long to live thankfully. Help us to pour out our thanks. Lord, we thank you for all the good things in our lives that we take for granted sometimes. Help us to see the worth and value in everything and everyone. Lord, we long to live thankfully. Help our thanks to pour out. We turn our thoughts and prayers now to the needs of the world around us, both far away and close at hand. Lord, we long to live lovingly. Help us to pour out our love. Lord, we continue to cry out to you for Ukraine. We thank you for those who are trying to work for peace. We pray for all who have been displaced from their homes, asking that they may find new life and love in unfamiliar places. We pray for those left behind, still living with the daily terrors of attacks and not knowing what will happen next. We remember all those who have died, some of whom are known only to you. Lord, we long to live lovingly. Help us to pour out our love. We pray for girls in Afghanistan, once again refused an education. We pray that the Taliban will reverse its decision and listen to your voice, encouraging equality for everyone. We pray for all the places in conflict in our world, currently out of the headlines. Show us how we can help and support all those who need food, shelter, and education to enable them to prosper. Lord, we long to live lovingly. Help us to pour out our love. We pray for our country, especially as the cost of living soars. Show us how to support each other, even when we might be struggling ourselves. Give us a spirit of generosity and help us to be content with what we need rather than what we want. We pray for all who work in our food banks, our homeless hospitals, and our support networks. We remember all children in care and pray for those who work to find them permanent homes. We continue to lift to you all those who work in our healthcare system as COVID still runs rife in our communities. Lord, we long to live lovingly.
Help us to pour out your love.
We also pray for all communities where we live, our church, our schools, places of work, and our homes. Give us joyful hearts and generous spirits so that we may give our best to others. We remember all who are ill or sad at this time, and all who are anxious or housebound. We remember especially the sick. Jack, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Eileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Addie, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Stephen, Margaret. And we remember the families of those who have died. Tim Prince, Richard Hurley, Dennis Bellamy. Lord, we long to live lovingly. Help us to pour out our love. Finally, Lord, we commit the week ahead to you. We ask that you travel with us in our work, our play, our joys, and our sorrows. Help us to find space to breathe your fragrance and offer ourselves and all we have to you, for you to make whole, strong, and beautiful. Lord, we long to live with you with thankfulness and love. We ask you to pour out your blessings so that we can pour them out to others. Amen. And the collect for the fifth Sunday in Lent. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, Grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Standing at the foot of the cross, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Christ crucified, draw us to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those we love and for whom we pray, this day and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your company this morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us in worship. Thank you, Andrew. Just a reminder that if you want to go to the coffee morning this week, it's at Bridwell Park in Uffcombe at 10 o'clock. If you could let either me or Stephen Roach or Janet Roach or Sally Mundy know if you're coming, that would be helpful because they will reserve some tables. Everybody is very welcome. And do please join us if you'd like to for Compline on Zoom on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The numbers are there. And we are having an Agape meal at Calverley Village Hall on Maundy Thursday, which is the 14th of April. And again, everybody is very welcome to join us for that meal on Maundy Thursday if you would like to. If you could just let me know in terms of the catering. That takes place at 6:30. Have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. Thank you, Andrew, very much indeed. And God bless you all.